statute, and it's in writing. Mr. Dewey?
Yes, for the record, Mike Dewey, Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. The intent has never been to in any way preclude what cattle producers, livestock producers have been doing. We want to make that very clear. Senator Thorne had concerns about this when the bill was working its way through the Senate. We discussed those numerous times, and we wanted to make that clear, and I think that language that is current law does that. I know Dr. Cunningham is here, and he feels very strongly about that also.
Fine. Senator, we don't need to amend this bill.
We've had enough discussion on the tape here, on the record here, that something crops up later, you might see the top of this.
I think the agricultural use of vaccines and not harming the practice of agriculture has been well established, right? Hasn't it?
Yes.
Senator, it doesn't, no amendments here.
No amendments, you're going to move it out.
Senator Hannon moves Senate Bill 180 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. We'll do boxing now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Open a public hearing on, well, we heard 470 already, so we're going to hear the House bill, which came in, but I'll wait here patiently for the analyst.
I'm going to take a little potty break.
Okay, good idea, but I won't go out there because they might catch me. You might recess. Return to order, and we'll open, and we'll recess for 2 minutes.
I just wonder if I could have
2 minutes on time.
Back order, and Jack.
On Senate Bill 260, there's just a technical thing that I'd like to clarify with the board and or with the subcommittee. On the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors, I propose to give them a budget of $53,557 for the biennium. Included in that $53,557 is a general fund loan. The dash 7 amendments reference an appropriation of $25,000. I just want to be sure that the board is not given additional expenditure authority of $25,000. So if conceptually we can either, whether we need to reconsider the motion where we pass 260 and pass it again with the understanding that the $53,557 is the total budget for the board for the biennium, and that any technical corrections to the dash 7 amendments will be made by staff.
Mr. Chairman, you want to bring 260 back then?
Senator Hannon moves the committee reconsider the vote by which it sent 260 to the full committee. Any objections to that motion? Done.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon. I would move that we adopt conceptually then the LFO language that the $53,000 is the maximum budget for the biennium.
Senator Hannon moves that the bill be further amended and technical adjustments be made by staff to assure that the budget is in the area of $53,000 total expenditures for the next biennium. Objections to that motion? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Hannon moves further amended Senate Bill 260 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered.
Thank you.
Open a public hearing on House Bill 3254, Senator Cohen. 3256, agenda was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Joyce Cohen, Senate District 13, Clackamas County. I'm here to urge your passage of House Bill 3256 along with Senate Bill 470, and this bill has been worked over, I think, rather extensively in the House Revenue Committee. It comes to you with a due pass, for, I think, unanimously out of that committee. And I do believe it is in order.
Now, let me understand what it is that was to have been done. We discussed this bill, which was in House Revenue, at the time we heard Senate Bill 470.
Right.
And we knew that there were some adjustments that had to be made. There was a taxing authority that exists
in current law.
in current law for local jurisdictions upon a signed petition that they then must establish a boxing commission which has a tax levying authority. My understanding was that the Revenue Committee was going to repeal that taxing authority and establish an authority for the state boxing commission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And there was going to be a hold harmless for certain veterans groups that might be receiving those dollars. Is that
certain
correct?
Certain city groups.
Certain city groups.
In fact, veteran groups, Mr. Chairman, had never gotten any money from any of this.
I see.
Ever.
Very well. Certain city groups were going to be held harmless for the next biennium only.
Yes.
And is that your understanding of what happened in the Revenue Committee?
You'll see, actually, it is before you.
Yes.
And it is section
11.
11.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I could clarify.
Your name for the record.
My name is Bruce Anderson. The Revenue Committee, I believe, sent a letter over with this relative to section 11, showing their intent was to return the surplus that we discussed in previous hearings to the cities, and left it to this committee to specifically determine how they would like to return that surplus.
Okay. What else did they do that we need to know about? We need some work to do a little work here on that.
Senator Hanna. I just want to ask Mr. Anderson a question. Now, with this House bill, we still need to pass out Senate Bill 470. We need both vehicles, right?
We have 470 here, and I was going to do that next.
But I mean, there's amendments already in the bill that apply to each bill.
Yes.
They're cross-referenced already.
Yes.
They've already been amended.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Chairman, we're going to need to be a little careful on this. I don't think Ken's got the language yet for you to do what Mr. Anderson just described and what's
mm-hmm.
requested
That's
here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may want to give us one more day to work up the appropriate language on 3256. And get it to you as opposed to trying to do something.
Senator Cohen.
I would say one thing. It says June 30th, 1989. So what they're saying is that for this very first biennium, the commission will use its collections for the expenditure limitation which you have prescribed for it, including
yes.
paying back the state loan.
Yes.
Probably in that first biennium, you're not going to have
enough revenue
to give back. And so that's why if you see section 11, it does say after June 30, 1989. So theoretically, you don't have to prescribe specifically how it's going to be. It does give the intent which satisfied the cities. We had city lobbyists who were working with us on Section 11.
Yes.
They were satisfied with
yes.
Section 11 as it stands, with an understanding that the next legislative session, that by the time you get to the next session, you will know how much goes relatively, what percentage
uh-huh.
excess you're going to have, and you can define how it is to be distributed back. And that we would
well,
come back to
Senator, so. Representative Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Senator Cohen, what's the limit on the expenses for the commission? I noticed in the bill, in the summary here at least, tax revenues for the state boxing commission expenses. And then after that,
being 470, wouldn't
that's it? That's in the, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, that is in your hands and 470,
yes.
which your staff has already worked up.
And you intend to that discussion in this so we know
well just, I'll move into 470 right away but I wanted to
well but I mean for my answer to my question do we get into that later
yes
and
yes
whether there will be a cap on that and then
there will be an expenditure limitation
municipalities or whatever
yeah do you have what are the dollar figures involved
in which
that we're trying to hold harmless from cities and pay them back in the 89 biennium.
Gary, Mr. Weeks has the figures I gave him that I was able to obtain. I would just be shooting in the...
Mr. Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, it really is a rough estimate, but in
for the city of Portland, for example, is $38,000. That's by far the largest, and then the revenue tails off for all these other communities. I mean, really breaks down to like $1,700, $1,800 for the next highest, and then in smaller amounts. And we've got maybe 8-10 communities that we're aware of that are anywhere from $300-$400 to $1,700.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I was thinking about on down the road.
Yes.
And what expenses?
We were only, well, we were going to, the payback was only for the coming biennium, but would be paid probably in the following biennium for the coming biennium, and that's it. So it was, we weren't going to catch anybody by surprise. That's it. Their expenditure limitations will be normal.
Right, but it under this, it says that they got the right to use the tax money for commission expenses. They could use it all.
We will limit them. We'll limit their expenditures. Got it. Senator Cohen.
I do think that until you get the commission up and running, you will not know how much is being collected, so you don't know how much you're going to distribute and how that goes. The problem has been that there has been no accountability for the collection of this at all, and that's what we're getting here. And I do think probably Section 11 is satisfactory the way it is. It would satisfy the cities that next time around they're going to get a bundle of money, they're going to be here to ask you how to distribute it, and the commission will be here to tell you which events they had where and how much excess they have and how that ought to be divided.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Sir
Hannon.
One other quick question. Is it in this House bill or is it in the Senate bill that you and I had a discussion, Mr. Anderson, you were going to seek an amendment to take out, like, pay for TV or cable TV that had a boxing match rather than tacking a 6% tax?
It's in 3256 in this bill.
So that has been removed.
That has been removed.
Super.
Okay. The chair would move that the staff be directed to make sure that House Bill 3256 accomplishes what has been described here on the record, and will pay special attention to the payback and probably reconfirm with the cities that they're fine with the arrangement that Senator Cohen managed, and to clean up all other technical or political questions or concerns. Objections to that?
Fairly good in charge, but
with the intention that this bill is going to move very rapidly to the full committee.
Good.
Then we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 470, establishing a boxing commission for the state.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, 470 establishes the commission, as you've indicated, creates it with a 5-member board, members selected from specified regions of the state, authorizes the licensing of just about everyone involved in the boxing and wrestling profession, from participants to referees, timekeepers, inspectors, and so on, and provides for licensing fees for all those individuals associated with the sport. So there's two revenue sources then, mm-hmm. as I understand it. One would be from this whole licensing program, and the other would be from the taxing program that's in 3256. One of our problems in talking about revenue from the licensing is we don't have a very good handle on how many boxers there are or how many wrestlers there are or so on. We have some very rough information that suggests that there are about 200 boxers and a couple hundred seconds, and maybe 10 refs and 5 timekeepers and 5 promoters. So it's a fairly small population, and you're not going to get a lot of income from the licensing of these individuals of probably less than 500 based on the information we know now. So the bulk of the revenue that's going to support this new commission, it appears to me, is going to come from the taxing authority that's in 3256. Now, they have no money to start with, so Senate Bill 470 would authorize, I believe it is, a general fund loan. I think that's what we've talked about mm-hmm. in the past. And to get them started until they start receiving some of the tax revenue and some of the licensing revenue, probably you're talking about staff of a director and a secretary. So you got two people involved in the project. We costed it out at not more than $250,000 a biennium, probably less. Now, the reason it's so high is, in addition to those two people, you're also going to contract for inspectors, which have to be present at every boxing match and wrestling event. Those would be contract employees. one of the things that's not clear to me in the bill is how you pay referees and timekeepers. I made the assumption that referees and timekeepers would be paid out of the gate and not by the commission. If you were going to pay those people mm-hmm. by the, if the commission yes. were going to pay those people, we'd have to make one room and limitation for those expenditures too.
Reverend Jones.
I believe the other time we heard this, there was some discussion about, you know, their startup money doesn't have to be because they'd be collecting fees.
That would be collecting fees.
Yeah, that's right.
So the impact would probably be a zero over the biennium, we thought, on the general fund.
Assuming, Mr. Chairman, that the loan was able to be repaid within the biennium, and the bill, I believe, doesn't require repayment until 1999. Is that right?
Well, we'd want to fix it. Well, Senator Hannon.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought the last time we had a hearing on this or a discussion, somebody made the comment, either Mr. Weeks or someone, that instead of giving them the full two years, that they were supposed to get a year, and then that got them up and running, then they had some revenues coming in.
That's
if I recall something to that effect. So it really wasn't as much as initially had.
Well, I meant the chairman made the statement that, you know, $2,500
started. And then generate.
And then it would generate.
That's how I understood it.
Senator Cohen?
I think we found a typing error. The intent was really in line 24, in the last page of 470, to be instead of 1999, it should be 1989.
That, yes, that makes a lot of
the
difference.
The fully intent is that this is to be paid back by 89. And so you took both of us back when you're talking about 99, because it should be 89, and that's really what the intention okay. is. And it's clear that we expect them within their biennium to be self-sufficient.
Okay. We'll bring that back then again tomorrow. The chair will, though, move to direct staff to establish expenditure limitations, analyze the taxing authority, analyze the fee structure, and report back tomorrow after all the problems in 3256 are also resolved, and we will at that time take final action.
Including correct dates.
And yes, correct the dates. Yes. Objections to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 404. Well, I better wait for the analyst.
Let me go get.
Don't go away, Attorney General.
I need to find my staff.
They're here. You can. We'll recess for a few minutes and hide in here. About
anything else on that?
And there was a Senator Hannon who's moving in our direction. And you're the analyst, Ms. Thorne?
Whether by choice or just being thrown here, yes.
You're just lucky enough. Okay. We'll be ready in a minute.
Mr. Chair, you're aware that this is catching me totally by surprise. So you...
We're not going to take action, probably. We're going to have a nice discussion.
All right. And it will be very impromptu from our standpoint.
I understand that. Bill, Mr. Mountain and I have talked. And I think he understands. And we want you to have an opportunity to think about it some more and to look at the amendments pretty carefully and all of that. So, The subcommittee will return to order. We will open a public hearing only on Senate Bill 404. We will be discussing the Dash 15 amendments, which have been just were issued about one from Legislative Council and then given to the Attorney General. Mr. Mountain, Mr. Frohnmayer, let me try to establish a framework. We were presented with Senate Bill 404, which seemed to be the only living bill in the Assembly that would implement Measure 3, as adopted by the voters in the last general election. According to the bill as it came to us, the Lottery Commission would have been vested with the constitutionally required regulatory authority to regulate bingo and other social games. There, in the Constitution is language that says that the state lottery may operate any game procedure authorized by the commission, except pari-mutuel racing, social games, and the games commonly known in Oregon as bingo or lotto. Our attorneys have argued that, well, the state lottery is different than the lottery commission. I submit that there is a constitutional question, at least, as to whether the lottery commission is a legal entity pursuant to the language in the Constitution, which has been before the voters in this form twice, once in 84 as the lottery commission was established, and again in 86 when social gaming was legalized. So, and they have seen this section of the Constitution and voted on it twice. Also, there is a problem in giving regulatory authority to a quasi-state agency, an agency that is not subject to executive or legislative branch review or control. And it seems strange, improper, inconsistent, and other adjectives to vest the Lottery Commission with such authority. I met in the company of Mr. Burke from the fiscal office with the governor and asked him, because I understood that it was somebody on his staff that had made the suggestion that the lottery commission be vested with those responsibilities, and also earlier in a bill reg for allowing off-track betting, lottery commission was added to that, I think at the request of the governor's office, and it was amended in the House. The fiscal staff and I are in agreement that we feel the Department of Justice would provide for the most effective regulation of gambling in the state of Oregon. And in the Dash 15 amendments have altered Senate Bill 262 to remove the lottery commission responsibilities, leave the racing commission responsibilities, and add the Department of Justice regulatory authority to that. And we have explained this all to the governor, who said, good grief, that he wasn't entirely committed to the decision that he had made, and certainly was ready to revisit it. His attorney, Corey Streisinger, has been in contact. We've argued about whether it's constitutional or not. It's kind of where it sits, except I did talk with Mr. Mountain outside of the House chamber right after we heard this bill, and in fact right after the off-track betting bill passed the House, and he at that time indicated that if we were really serious about it, that the Attorney General might be willing to take on this responsibility. So what these amendments would do would be to implement the part that the people have required, which is shall vest the regulatory authority in any appropriate state agency. We've said, okay, legislature has to do this before we leave sine die. We think the regulatory authority is best vested in the Department of Justice, and have then given the authorization for regulations to the Department of Justice. Now I'll shut up.
Well, it seems to me that there's nothing left to do
but
vote on.
Well, so I did promise the receiving agency an opportunity to think about this. Well, Attorney General Von Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had about 15 minutes to think about it, and so what you will hear is a stream of consciousness, mostly of concerns, and I state those now, though, because I'm not sure in the waning hours of this session what other chance there is to make legislative history or make known whatever our intentions might be. I've always followed the view that if the legislature really wants to vest a function in the department, we will do it and do our best to do it. At the same time, I've also said that it's fair game, or at least fair to the process, for me to identify those concerns or those problems that might cause you to vest it someplace else more appropriately. And so I'll start there, because this is a function that we would undertake if directed.
Chairman, we would. Now, Dave, more appropriately?
Well,
is that the proper word to use there?
Yes. If I may follow that up, then, Representative Jones, my view is that the state ought to have a consolidated gaming commission with broad enforcement powers, under which the regulation of bingo, under which the regulation of raffles, under which the regulation of paramutuals would fall.
We understand that.
I would include the lottery in that.
And the governor understands that we're talking about an interim solution for the next biennium that's responsive to the vote of the people, because the governor had said, oh, the lottery commission would be a first step, and then we'd take the step to a gaming commission later, and we're saying, no, no. Let's take an interim step that answers the vote of the people, regulates, protects us against organized crime, and then allows us to move in the next session to a final solution.
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me ask you then, who regulates the racing now, the paramutual?
Racing commission.
The commission?
Yes.
The final then is your department. If there's a problem with the racing commission, then they come to you to straighten it out.
Well, there's never been in my tenure in office, but if there were a problem, if they had an incursion of some undesirable elements, they would come to us for investigative assistance in all probability. Now, let me add that the regulatory function is different than the enforcement function in that sense, Representative Jones. That is, the day-to-day processing, the day-to-day licensing, the day-to-day expertise that you really ought to and have to develop in this business is something we don't now possess. I'm sure that money will buy it, and I'll raise that issue in a minute, as I'm sure you're aware. But we don't now have it, and we're not set up in general to be a regulatory agency. And as a matter of fact, the legislature in other respects has not wanted us to be. If you do, that's something we will do.
Yes.
I guess I was also pleased, Representative McCracken, to hear you say that you don't necessarily regard this as the final solution.
I absolutely
because,
do not.
If this were to devolve on us, our most creative act might be to recommend that the 1989 biennium set up a gaming commission and divest ourselves
exactly.
of it if we find it something that interferes with the core operations of the Department of Justice.
Yes. There would be an opportunity, though, in that interim to see what kinds of people might try to come into this state and take money out of it.
I don't know if we would have enough experience in the 18 months that we're looking at to give you an answer on that.
Mr. Chairman, is it either your belief, Mr. Chairman, or Attorney General Frohmeyer's belief that we do need something to allow the continuation of bingo games based on what the people approved at the polls last November? That's my first question.
As a matter of civics and good responsive practice, yes.
Okay. Now, the second question.
Raffles, is that correct?
Or raffles.
Bingo's been there.
What they voted on last November.
Right.
Okay.
Raffles, bingo, or lotto.
Now, based on that, realizing that we're down towards the end of the session and perhaps not having enough time to determine at some great length that a gaming commission might be the proper function, if adequate funds were made available per the original request to make an initial loan that would be recaptured by the licensure fees and revenues and whatever, would it be your assumption that, given that assurance, that money would in fact be available to start up a licensure program or a regulatory control program, that then coming back in 89 with a final recommendation on a gaming commission or, you know, a permanent home for this type of activity would be a more appropriate route to pursue at this point, rather than leaving here not having anything in place?
Well, that really is a legislative decision, and I can understand why you would want to do it.
No,
the qualifier,
I'm asking.
Well,
that, I
think
know
keeping, you know, keeping, keeping.